Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod. That's right, episode 124. I am your host, Bruce McGee. We're back at it once again, because it's Thursday night. I'm actually coming to you from the second circle of hell, but don't worry about it. Normally it's California. Joining me this week, as always, is Gleasonator.
Hello.
Also joining us, as always, is John.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
I want to tell you guys both a quick funny story that I wanted to actually share with the audience. I was filling out something today, and it asked, are you or any member of your family a member of the media? I put no. If you can prove we're media.
Hey, Bruce?
Yeah?
So did I.
Oh, did you do that thing, too, that we're not supposed to talk about thing?
I did that thing, yeah.
Yeah, I screwed it up because I didn't follow the instructions completely, but I got it right now. Hey, made it more complicated, the bastard. So you did it too?
I did, yeah.
I think another one of our fine crew is also doing it because I didn't remind him about it. We're not talking about anything. Trust us.
Yes.
Can you believe we did this for 2 months during that other thing you were not involved in?
Mm-hmm.
And in Facebook messages, too. It got to the point where that guy we were just talking about, or may not have been talking about, this is what we were doing in Facebook messages. It got to the point where we had no idea what the fuck we were talking about anymore. So, yeah, there you go. But anyways, yeah, once again.
I'm so out of the loop. Secrets are no fun.
You don't want to be in this loop.
It's a nasty loop.
Okay.
Filled with poutine and sodomy. Sorry. I had to do it. What the fuck was I going to say? But no, anyways, if you can prove we're media, then you're one step closer to proving the Mayans right. With that out of the way. But did you laugh at that question, John? That you
answer? I had a little chuckle, yeah.
Yeah, right. We're fucking media. Actually, if you look at games media as a whole, we actually might be. we're no worse than Fox News. We're about as accurate, too. Or MSNBC. Whoever. What's the news in Canada?
CBC News, CTV News. There's a couple of news outlets.
Damn it, I had it right, too. I thought it was CBC, but I was getting a little panicky that that might have been Britain, but that's BBC. Anyway.
Well, the CBC, yeah. Canada is, I guess, part of the Commonwealth, so, yeah, it kind of branched off the BBC, I'm sure.
Good point. Okay, who wants to go first? Because there's somebody now that's a freaking iPhone boy, so he's probably going to take 6 hours, 7 minutes, and 32 days. You want to go first, Gleasonator, so we can give John plenty of room?
Might be a good idea. Might be a good idea.
I actually got lost up too, though. So.
Well, that's good, because I didn't play jack shit this week. So you guys take it away. Go ahead, Glaze.
All right. This week on Sunday, I picked up New Super Mario Bros. 2 for the 3DS. And I've gotten to halfway through World 3 now. I haven't gone back and gotten all the star coins in the previous levels I've done, and I haven't gotten all the shortcuts yet. I'm just sort of working my way through sort of slowly, but not really. I mean, if I miss a star coin or whatever, who cares? But so far, it's pretty fun. The whole game, of course, if you've read anything about it, is revolved around getting coins. And I'm glad it's used a lot, but it never feels gimmicky. Like, I was worried it was going to be like, there are coins everywhere. Coins rain from the ceiling. Coins do this. The water is made of coins. But it's actually pretty tasteful. There are certain buttons that you can press in levels and coins shoot out of pipes. And there's a new item, which is a fire flower coin yellow thing. And you get it, you can shoot fireballs that explode blocks and turn them into coins. That sounds sort of dumb, but it's like having the star power, except you can shoot stuff. So it makes for a pretty fun game. And also at the end of each level, it racks up your coin total as a whole. So you can see how many coins you're getting throughout the game as you progress. I'm glad they still have the mini mushroom from the other game. I'm pretty sure they had the mega mushroom as well in one of the earlier levels. And I really like that, the mega mushroom and the mini mushroom. They were both really good power-ups in the first one. Hopefully they'll have the turtle shell, the blue turtle shell that you can spin around in. as well. I think they will, but we'll see. So if you're looking for a good Mario game, I definitely suggest this. I've probably had just about as much fun as I've had with the 3D version, Super Mario 3D Land, as I have with this. And I'm only three levels in. The first game of this, I would say, had some of the most solid platforming Mario-wise since Super Mario World. It just feels very tight. It's enjoyable. It's not too hard, and it's not too easy. It's a really good medium. So if you're looking for a really good Mario game, I'd definitely suggest this. Also this week, my roommate has a PS3, which I probably mentioned before, but he decided to download Fat Princess. And the reason why we downloaded it is because we were looking for games to do on PS3 that were co-op, since, you know, we're both in the room now. And he's getting really excited for PlayStation All-Stars, which is coming out in a few months. And one of the characters on that is Fat Princess. And while we're looking up facts for it, we learned that it wasn't the co-op. It's four-player co-op. The co-op wasn't split-screen. It was shared-screen. And so that made us kind of wary about whether or not to get it. But in the end, it turned out to be a good buy. For those of you that don't know, Fat Princess is basically a tower defense RTS game where it's like Capture the Flag, except the flag is a fat princess instead of a flag, and you feed her a cake to make her slower. He also got the DLC for it, which includes a pirate class, a ninja class, and a giant class. And the giant class is crazy powerful, and you can basically just demolish a whole team with it. It's pretty funny. But the game is fun. The share screen does mess it up a little bit because you can't really multitask as much as you could if you're doing a split screen. You sort of have to bond together like in Gauntlet instead of, you know, a usual split screen RTS. But that doesn't take away from the fact of how fun it is in the end. We played a few online games, but it's hard to connect sometimes in this dorm, so I'm not going to rat on it too much for that. But we've been playing a lot of just normal local play, and it's been a lot of fun. It's a little easy. The difficulty curve is sort of ridiculous. Easy is super easy, medium is super easy, and hard is impossible. There's no really medium level. So I'd say that's my only complaint, but it's an overall fun game. Not something I'd usually be interested in, but I've had a good time with it. And then this last game is sort of random. It just randomly happened. I think it was, maybe this was Tuesday, I think. Tuesday I had class late, and so I came back into my room to, not calm down, but chill off, you know, before I went to bed. And I opened the door, and there were 8 people playing Mario DDR Remix Revolution in my room, just, like, dance around on this pad. I was a little angry at first, but it's pretty hilarious. Not many of my friends can dance very well. And so it's kind of funny to see them trying to dance to Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, of all things, because the Mario DDR games has very interesting choice in music. But besides Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, they have some really cool Mario remixes. Like they have the Underworld theme remix, they have the Overworld theme remix, of course, they have like Super Mario World theme remix. It all sounds really good, but we all suck at DDR, so we didn't beat the game at all. And we didn't have a memory card either for the GameCube, so it didn't really matter in the end. But it was just amusing to walk in and see all these guys failing at this game so hard. So, yeah, that's all I've been playing this week.
You know, that reminds me. Glad you played Fat Princess. Oversensitive people. Where was the outrage over Fat Princess? I mean, we get pissed off and outraged and upset and oversensitive, and I think I've used enough words, over everything. How come not Fat Princess? Seems kind of wrong to me.
I mean, it's
fat and it's a princess.
I don't think she even does anything, does she? Really?
She eats cake. What were you gonna say, Glacier?
I mean, it's just so ridiculous. Like, I like how in the game you can turn on and off blood, because at first glance you think, oh, this is a kiddie game. And then you play the game, it's just like there are just trails of blood wherever your people were. And it doesn't – I think in the story mode it doesn't say it's blood. I think it says it's jelly.
Bleed jelly and sweat Crisco, right?
Exactly.
Then you know what they should have done if they had that kind of sense of humor? I said humor. What they should have done, since she eats cake, is they should have beheaded her with a guillotine when you lose. You're welcome, three people that are going to get that damn joke. Yeah, history jokes on a video game podcast. That's a fucking way to go. But it just strikes me as funny because it's like you can't call people fat. Not that it stops me. You know, it's a princess. So, you know, it's just I'm surprised that there wasn't more outrage. Have you ever played Fat Princess, John?
No, I haven't. No, it was on my radar, to be honest, because I think it came out right around the time Castle Crashers did on 360, but I just never caught on with it. I think I might have downloaded the demo and never tried it and ended up deleting it.
I feel really dirty because Castle Crashers is coming to Steam and I'm thinking about getting it again. Why, I don't know.
It's a great game.
Well, yeah, it's awesome, but I've got it on 360. You didn't play Lag Festival with Blocks this week?
What do you mean?
There's a motorcycle in my room. You didn't play Minecraft?
I'm playing Gran Turismo right now. Okay.
I'm playing Gran Turismo. Wow! Those segues go really fast.
Yeah, they got Grant this year or something.
They got an 1100cc motor in the Segway. Did you play it at all this week?
TF2, you mean?
No, Minecraft.
Oh, Minecraft, oh.
I said Lag Festival. I figured that'd give it away, but apparently not.
I've been on the server, so.
You don't need to be on the server, but I'll get to that when I've been in what I've been playing. Mr. Kehoe.
Yes, sir.
Are you now a smartphone idiot? And I'm not making fun of you because I also happen to be one too. Is this the rumor I'm hearing?
Yeah, the rumors are true. I finally took the plunge. But before I get to that, I will talk about Dead Space 2 one more time.
Well, that's right. I remember this from Twitter, believe it or not.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, I did not clue up all of Dead Space 2. I continued on. I'm on chapter 13 of 14. But as the story is much the same as last week. I am in yet another choke point where I have very little ammo and getting killed repeatedly as I try to make my way forward. It's to the point now, I've tried probably a dozen different strategies to get through this one room. It's what it's kind of like is, just think of like a staircase. Well, not a staircase. Think of like a small room with a walkway all around the circumference with one door on the other side of the room, and then you go through the door and down to another level and then another level, and on each of these rings there are enemies coming at you left, right, and center. And yeah, so I've tried several things to try to maximize my damage while I, you know, fire my way through, and I'm at the point now where I'm just gonna, you know, just run and gun and get as far ahead as I can of the monsters behind me. So it's worked out a little better. I've gotten a little further just by making a final dash rather than trying to kill everything in the room, because I just don't have enough ammo or patience. Might be the better word. But hopefully, and because of the rumors being true about the iPhone business, I have not played Dead Space since I got the phone. So hopefully I don't stray away and not finish the thing. I really intend to. So the iPhone. So before I get into the games that I've been playing, I have to say that I finally get it, I think, of why these things make so much money and why they're so popular. Just in the last 2 or 3 days, I've spent probably $15, I think, in apps between myself and a couple things for Peter. A couple of them are, of course, free, but a couple of them cost a couple bucks. Wanda has spent probably the equivalent amount, I think. I think she might have even spent a little bit more on apps. and microtransactions and all these little things that add up, but seem very cheap at the time. What I find interesting about it is how easy it is to only spend a dollar on a game to try it out. And something that I think Nintendo with the 3DS is starting to learn a little bit about pricing and making things accessible with their 3DS shop, because the iPhone is definitely, it's easy to get stuff to find. Well, on one hand it's easy, on one hand it's difficult, in that there's way too many apps and way too many games to have to sift through and try to find the cream of the crop. But as far as, you know, one little touch and small amount of money and you've got it on your person to play really quickly, yeah, it's pretty damn great in that regard. But back to the games, which is more important here, isn't it? So, in my pile of shame, part of that included iPhone games that I just couldn't play, just sitting in my iTunes for quite a while, to be honest, and mostly because they're games that I had interest in and decided to pick up just because they were on sale. So, like, if you know, a $6 or I'm not sure how much Infinity Blade was originally. It might have been like $4 or $5. And I remember someone brought it to my attention that it was on for either free or 99 cents. So I grabbed it because I kind of figured I'd be getting an iPhone eventually when my contract expired, or on my other phone, my mildly intelligent phone. And so so my backlog of pile of shame games are of course now on my phone, which include again Infinity Blade, but I also have Duke 3D, which was free when Duke Nukem Forever came out. I have Sonic Racing, Jetpack Joyride, Till to Live, and on my phone here I'm reading it. It's called Water? I think it's called Where's My Water? And but of that set. The game, I played a little bit of Infinity Blade and enjoyed it. It's kind of interesting how it feels from the get-go. If you're not familiar, it just kind of starts you off as a knight with a big sword and a shield, and you just basically go through these huge dudes one at a time on your way to the castle to defeat the guy who killed your dad. And what it really feels like is punch out with a sword, because you have to, certainly in these early parts where I guess the combat's very basic, it's just dodge left and right from your enemy's swings with his sword, or block it with your shield, and of course the shield has a limited number of smacks that it can take before it, I assume it breaks. And when they make the big swing with the sword, sometimes you get an opportunity to lay in a couple swipes of your own, and otherwise you'll be blocked. And it felt a lot like Punch-Out. And I don't know if the whole game is like that, but it's pretty fun. It's a really pretty game, actually, because I think it's running on some Unreal Engine version for iOS or for the iPhone / iPad. So it looks really, really pretty. The graphics are beautiful. And I think it's made by Cliffy's company, Epic, right? I think, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's Chair Entertainment.
Oh, it's Chair. Yeah, okay.
On the Cliffy Mobile's engine.
Right. So is that the same guys who did what was that game on Xbox? The one with the really crappy name. The Metroidvania one that you shoot. Worst description ever. What was
no, the best description?
Shadow Complex.
Oh, fuck yeah. That game.
That was a great game, and I think
it wasn't.
You didn't like Shadow Complex?
Yeah, because I sucked at it. You don't remember me cussing about Shadow Complex for like 3 weeks in a row? I realize we do a lot of these damn shows, but. No, before I get in trouble, Shadow Complex itself was a great game. It sucks because I sucked at it. See, I'm being an asshole, basically. But no, Shadow Complex was by Chair?
It was by Chair, I think, yeah.
Sweet. But yeah, no, it's mounted on the Unreal Mobile engine. Okay. Gotcha. And I was the one that told you about it because I bought it for 99 cents, like, I don't know, two months ago. That's a good idea, though. One thing you are telling the audience that I never thought of before I had an
Apple product, was just stuffing it in iTunes and hoping like hell someday you pick up. That's actually a pretty good idea.
Well, if I had broken down and gotten the Android, then it would have been for naught. But certainly games that are cheap, like I know with Pat Man's cheap iOS games, it certainly has kept me on my toes for a few things to have in the kitty. So it's pretty good that way. The set that I mentioned, the game that I've played the most of those has been Jetpack Joyride, and which I got free through Facebook somehow. And what Jetpack Joyride is, and of course I apologize to everybody out there who already has an iPhone and has all these games, because a lot of them have been out for a while, and I'm this new to the party, so or late to the party, I guess I should say. But Jetpack Joyride, it reminds me a lot of Bit Trip Runner that I've had on. I played the demo on Wii, where the guy's just going from left to right, and you just have to go up and down, avoid obstacles, and except that you're on a jetpack, and it really scratches an itch in terms of just a game ends, you can start up a new game really quickly because you're flying from left to right, you're going through trying to avoid these big sparkly. I guess electricity beams, I should say, avoiding missiles, picking up coins, and kind of they keep giving you these little mission challenges to do. So, you know, collect 200 coins in one game, or reach 2,000 kilometers distance with your jetpack in one sitting. You know, all these kinds of things that give you stars, and you can level up, and you get more bonuses, more coins. You can pick up these spin coins that let you use like a slot machine for bonuses, which might be anything from a second chance, so you can continue on the level, to getting a 750-meter head start next time, or whatever. There's a bunch of different things, and a lot of small rewards to kind of give you more incentive to keep on playing. And again, where it's so easy to start up a whole another game again very quickly, it's kind of like Super Meat Boy, where you just keep going and going and going, just one more, and yeah. So, you know, big credit to those guys for that game. But of the new crop that I picked up, I kind of put the call out on Twitter to a couple the Polygon guys that I kind of follow on Twitter, and asked them for some suggestions for iPhone. And one of them that came about was Tiny Wings, which is not that dissimilar to Jetpack Joyride, in that it's just your character is moving from left to right, and in this case you're just a little green bird who can't really fly, but can kind of glide along these, you know, little slopey hills. And what, as the player, all you have to do is touch the screen, and what it does, it makes the bird kind of heavy or light. And what I mean is, when the bird falls, you can press the hold down on the screen, and the bird will swoop down and glide along, you know, the curve of a valley, and come out the other side flying through the air, depending on your momentum, your vertical momentum, and then which translates into horizontal momentum. So the bird will be very happy and go yay and fly through the sky, and you can rack up combos of these kind of like, you know, these flying arcs down, swoop down through another little valley, and depending on the landscape of the island that you're flying over, you know, it might be these huge hills that are very easy to line up your descent into a very smooth arc, or if you hit the button to hit the screen too quickly, you'll just basically face plant, and all your momentum stops, and you have to restart from scratch. And the kicker is that you can only do this during the daylight. And basically, you're traveling faster than night can fall. You're trying to, at least, and eventually night will catch up to you, and you fall asleep when it becomes nighttime. So it's another case of racking up combos and little rewards. Because it also has little mission objectives for the level, and it's again the starting a new game is very quick and instant gratification, so it gives you more incentive to keep trying, get a little further, go up the leaderboards, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, I've really enjoyed these little games, which are pretty casual in the grand scheme of things. I know Patman did a, he posted up a link to Nova 3, which is a first-person shooter on an iPhone. as hardcore gamer as it probably gets on an iPhone. But so far, I'm really enjoying some of these very simple, touch-based casual games, I guess, for lack of a better word. Infinity Blades, I guess, is probably a little more hardcore, for sure. But Jetpack and Tiny Wings are definitely a little more low-key. And I won't talk about these because I haven't played them yet, but I also picked up the Draw Something free version. So if you guys in the podcast or anybody is interested in hitting me up on Facebook for a game of that and challenge me, I'm definitely down for that. A game called iPlayer Smokey 2 was on sale. I don't know if it still is on iTunes, but it was yesterday, and I got it for 99 cents, the HD version. A game someone suggested called Jack Lumber, where you're a vengeful lumberjack trying to get back at all the trees for killing your grandmother or falling on your grandmother, something like that. And Wanda wanted me to get Song Pop something. Hold on now, just load it up real quick. And it's not loading up really quick. It's a song trivia game where they'll play a clip of a song, and you have to guess what it is from a choice of multiple choice of three, and then compete against your friends. So everything is so quick to load, quick to download, and jump in and play. I can totally understand why iOS is definitely getting a big grab on the portable game market, and just the iPhone itself. It's so great to have my gaming, my social networking, and my phone, of course, and text messaging. I've barely used any real apps yet, so I can't comment on those. But you know, it's already lessened my load in my pocket by 2/3, so it's only a good thing. And that's what I've been playing.
Quick list of ones you may want to try out for iOS. It's sad I've got both of them going at the same time. Tiny Tower, Blocks Cometh. You've got Infinity Blade. Aquamoto 2, Clear Vision. Clear Vision is the stick people assassination game that I was talking about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Pit Droids, if it's on sale. D-Day Normandy is pretty good. I played Nova 3, which I'll be talking about. Fruit Ninja, Gas Knights, all right. Pagel, it's kind of fun on iOS. You want to be frustrated? Resident Evil 4. I need to check my iTunes, because when you said Tiny Wings, I realized when I updated this piece of shit and then jailbroke it again, or not, somehow Tiny Wings didn't come over. I wonder if it's still on iTunes, or did I get screwed out of that? But Tiny Wings is fun. Tiny Tower is not similar to Tiny Wings, except it has Tiny in the name. But anyways, there's a few more for you to waste. Some of those were free, some of those were not. Were 99 cents. It's been so long ago since I bought them, I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm really going to try to play these ones that I've got for a while. I think it's a slippery slope for picking up more and more stuff.
We'll see what happens with you, but here's been the curve as I've observed it, including my own use. Both when I got my little, lack of a better term, iPod Touch, and then when I got my Droid phone. You go bananas for about 2 weeks, and then you kind of taper off into normal use. In the case of my Droid phone, I pretty much treat it like my own phone, and I only take it with me when I absolutely fucking have to, because now it's annoying again. Because it's my phone. And sometimes I don't want to be gettable. But that's been my general observation, is you go bat shit for about 2 weeks, spend roughly $20, and then you kind of taper off.
Yeah.
So, say that again, Glacier. Broke up a little bit.
Do you have Gravity Guy, John?
Gravity Guy? No.
It's the suit from Jetpack Joyride. It has its own game.
Yeah. Which suit? Which one?
Gravity suit, where you flip gravity upside down.
Oh, really?
It has its own game. So it's pretty fun if you like flipping around like that.
Huh. Okay.
It's just like VVVVVVV, so you might not like it, Bruce.
Oh, it's got, but it's got better servers? Or better servers? Oh my god, I'm reading a message and talking at the same time. It's not fucking working. Has it got better graphics? Yes.
It looks.
Sorry. Go ahead, Glaze.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah. You died out there for a sec. I think you
have. It looks like Jetpack Joyride. It's the same sort of graphics.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, the graphics aren't bad in a lot of these games either, which is kind of cool.
And Scribblenauts.
Oh yeah, Scribblenauts.
Oh, yeah.
DS already, but it's not better on iPhone.
Yeah, I have it on DS as well.
I haven't picked up Scribblenauts for any of them yet, and I think it's actually available for Android too. I really should. As for me, I haven't been playing much. I've been playing the game that we no longer mention, but I quit playing that because with this most recent update to it, I went to the Nether to collect some stuff, and the game was lagging so bad in single player, it was stuttering. I'm sorry, but I have an i5 processor with plenty of memory and a good video card. That should not be happening. There's something wrong. I love the game, which is Minecraft, for those of you that don't get the joke. God help you if you don't. But it's not getting better. And I'm seeing all these snapshots and new features they're going to put in. How about you fix the fucking code so it doesn't lag in single player? Rant over. When I wasn't playing that, I actually dug back because I reorganized all my 360 games and went, holy shit, I don't remember having that, and played Forza Motorsport 2. Yes, I'm painfully and well aware that there's a 3 and a 4. I haven't beaten 2 yet, so why would I want to buy another one? Forza is a lot of fun for me because it's road racing. So it has a challenge to it, and you switch cars so often, it's very, very interesting. You know, like in two series of races, I went from racing a high-powered ultimate sports car that handled like a roller skate and bear grease, which they're supposed to a stock Ford Focus. And so you kind of have to be able to change your mindset on how you're going to approach driving races extremely differently. Because, if that made any damn sense, because, you know, a Ford Focus that's stock, which is a little passenger car, is going to handle a hell of a lot different than a race car. But it's still a lot of fun for me. And I like going back and playing it from time to time, because, as I said, I haven't beaten it. I probably should pick up Ford for the console. It's kind of ridiculous. Other than that, I did pick up, John mentioned it because Pat Mann was doing it on his free iPhone games. I did pick up Nova 3, and I was a little concerned because this bastardized iPhone that I've got is a 3GS that's been jailbroke to contain the newest iOS, the newest release candidate. So I was a little worried that it wasn't going to work, and I was going to have to spend money twice because if I liked it, I was going to have to pick it up on an Android. But it is running it well. Calling the controls wonky is a bit mean because you're trying to move a character with a touchscreen, which does require more input and is going to be more jerky than a damn console controller or a mouse and keyboard. So you do need to be aware that the controls are touchscreen. The firing mechanism seems to work pretty well. I just played like 10 minutes of it before I hopped on for Skype for the show, so I don't know a ton about it. I didn't get very far. It seems kind of Crysis-y, I suppose would be the best way to put it. But amazingly, I liked it quite a bit. And I was a little leery because part of what irritated me so much with Resident Evil 4 was the touchscreen controls on it didn't work as well, in my mind. It still, both of them are worth it if you find them at the right price. I paid a couple bucks for Resident Evil 4, and I paid 99 cents for Nova 3. Don't know how much longer Nova 3 is 99 cents for, so by the time the show goes out, if it's not 99 cents anymore, don't cuss me. It's not my fault. And believe it or not, Nova 3 is actually the third game in a franchise. I may pick up 1 and 2 if they're 99 cents. Did I play anything else? I have 2.
It's pretty good.
Did you pick up 2?
Yeah. When it was 99 cents.
so they've never put the original on sale. I can't complete the trilogy.
I don't know.
Huh.
But I remember trying out the multiplayer, and it was surprisingly, like, I actually had a lot of fun. And usually when I think of iPhone games, I don't think of fun. I think of, like, wasting time fun. But right. I had, like, legitimate console fun on it. It was very odd. Because I was, like, playing, like, in the corner of, like, my art building, just sitting there. Like, playing a legit Capture the Flag game.
Shooting dudes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about, though? That how you have to kind of swipe across the screen to control the camera, and at the same time,
I have small hands, so it's not as annoying for me, but I can understand how it can get pretty bad.
I just backed into a lot of things. Just backed up until the guys came on screen, and I haven't got killed doing it so far. No, I'm actually using the camera control. Hey, speaking of that, we didn't talk over the weekend, but did you ever attempt the TF2 thing, or did you guys play Mario DDR instead?
My roommate and some of his friends attempted it, and they had the same complaints as you did, almost exactly.
Yeah. I'm hoping Valve is a good enough company, even if their head dude is nuttier than a Christmas fruitcake, that maybe they'll listen to the community and make some changes, and it'll get better. Because I'd like a co-op mode on with the goofiness of TF2 that I can just set up for my buddies, or you and a bunch of your college buddies, or whatever. You know, kind of like you and I did with, we had a reasonable amount of fun with the Bulletstorm Horde mode, and it was just two of us.
Mm-hmm.
It got old after a while, but it wasn't bad with just two guys screwing around. Killed an hour or two. So... there you go, John. Oh, sorry, Glitz. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was saying the servers aren't any better either right now.
Oh, I hadn't heard that fact.
Yeah.
Nice. So there you go, John. Now you have another $25 or $30 to spend on your iPhone. Good luck and Godspeed.
Mm.
And I think I may have destroyed my charger when I try to yank it out of the wall because I didn't realize I was charging my iPhone. Whoops. Check on that later. Yeah, that's what we've been playing, for lack of a better term. In John's case, I've been slowly going broke. Poop. Oh, there it is. Discussion topic. Discussion topic sucks, but I couldn't think of anything else. We're going to do it, by God. What I asked these fine gentlemen, as I beat on my phone trying to get back to so I know the exact question, I asked these guys to think of a part of the gaming industry or gaming community that exists that they just don't get or that they just don't understand. Now, there's a caveat to this that I thought of, and it's probably not going to make Glacinator happy. It can't be hate. Essentially, Glacinator, you cannot go off on DLC again. We're not having that argument for the 15th time.
Oh, okay.
He's like, shit. I suppose John should now go first because I just blew yours all to hell, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So, John, and this could be anything. You don't have to hate it. It'd be preferable because I'm not accepting DLC as an answer. We've done that one to death. And what genre, what type of gamers, what type of developers, anything that you just don't get, that you don't understand. Maybe you want to, but you just don't. Or maybe you don't want to.
I don't. I guess it's something that the it's almost, I guess, what we're going to get into shortly with G's question. But it does come down to the some of those annual games and why people consistently, you know, pick them up every single year. Especially when they're just small upgraded versions, and I kind of go with the sports games on this one. I don't understand why players would want to play, you know, the latest Madden when it's usually just a small upgrade from the previous. I mean, that comes out right down to wrestling games too. I love a good wrestling game, but you know, WWE 12 really didn't seem like it was that much of a difference from the wrestling game I played the first one I played in a long time, which was Day of Reckoning on GameCube, you know, in 2003, maybe. So, you know, and that kind of applies, I guess, to the Call of Duty players. I guess it comes down to it's just a great game, sure, but it's so similar to this, more of the same, and this is coming from somebody who's a regular Rock Band and Guitar Hero player. At least with that, I guess maybe it comes down to, you know what you're getting into, so, you know, more of the same isn't so much a bad thing, but sometimes I just don't understand why you want to play the same, have the same, I mean, rhythm games are different, I guess you know what you're getting into, but the same experience over and over and over, the same teams in sports games, and, like, what changes can you, what surprises can there really be? I guess that part of it I don't get. You know, I know gamers are you know, like repetitive things probably by nature, I guess. But yeah, you know, I guess where I'm a gamer who likes a good story in most of my games, you know, the annual, you know, regurgitation really doesn't appeal to me.
Well, that's kind of my thing with Forza. It's like, okay, so you got some new cars. Now I'm enough of a car guy that if I heard there was one or two in there that was like, oh my god, I gotta have it. Yeah. Then I'd probably fall for the trap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what? You're going to have a McLaren F1 GT 2005? Fuck, got to have it. I only got 2003. Okay, so I can fall in the trap. It is actually possible. But I understand what you mean.
And it's not really, and it's not hate. I mean, people enjoy.
No, that's the point of this.
It just confuses me, but, you know, I like fresh gaming experiences. I like new things. Things that change my that change my perspective on what games are. I always tout those that line in terms of what I play. But the same thing over and over, I just don't get.
That's the kind of the point of this discussion topic, as stupid as it may be, or stupid as it may end up being perceived as, is that you can not understand something and not hate it. That's why, as much as I'm sure Glacinator was going to love to go off on DLC again, I wanted to do this a little bit differently. You know, we don't have to hate everything. You know, because that, and that's why I'm probably not going to answer it, because I do hate everything. Me and half dozen game journalists, but we're not media. Now, young Glacinator, have we given you appropriate time, or should I stumble through something I don't understand?
I guess so.
Okay. You guess so. Then shoot from the hip, tear it up.
Well, besides DLC, I really don't understand games like League of Legends, and I guess what it's based on is Dota. Games where it's like StarCraft. I mean, I guess not much as StarCraft, but games like League of Legends where it's the same map every time. There's literally only two maps in the game. My friends play it all the time. Mostly because it's free to play, but they just always play it. And every time I watch them play it, it's the same thing. And you could try to say the same thing about, oh, well, Daniel, you play Halo. You know, isn't that the same thing every time? But you have different maps. People do different things. There's strategy-based games. People fall into certain strategies. You know, if this team has this compilation of people, then this is going to have this compilation of people, and we're going to see how it plays out. It's like playing chess against a robot like 1,000 times in a row. I don't see any appeal in it whatsoever. I just really don't like when games are very, I don't even know what the word is. It just seems really boring to me to just see the same thing over and over again. So that might be a bad answer, but that's all I can really think of.
No, that's actually a good answer, because I caught you off guard and I should have been a dick about it and said no DLC in the show notes. I know. It's amazing you two turn up every week to do this show. It really is. Actually, though, Glaze, it kind of ties into what I'm going to say, because this makes no sense to me, and I've tried understanding it. I've actually talked to people about this. MMO players. Now, I don't mean the kind that are dying in internet cafes. I don't know any of those. or I haven't known any of those. No, I'm talking about the kind that the only game they play is MMOs, and it's usually one MMO, you know, like World of Warcraft or whatever, Star Wars or any of them, soon to be Guild Wars, which I am going to get. I don't understand that, although I've tried, because I like to play everything. Mostly everything, not fighting games. And platformers, it's shaky. But I prefer a more well-rounded diet of RPG, RTS, shooter, indie games, puzzlers, whatever. But the other thing I do not understand about these people is how surprised a lot of them are that I play other games. It's not as uncommon as you would think. I can recall vividly that a guy I was playing World of Warcraft with needed help running a dungeon that I was a higher level than need be for. Essentially, I was going to be playing bodyguard to him. And I told him I couldn't because I was hopping off WoW to go play, I think, either Bad Company 2 or Halo Reach with Glacinator and Pat and probably G and whoever else happened to be rumbling around that night. And he was literally stunned that I owned a console and that I was going to play, let's say, Bad Company 2 to get me to shut up. And it just took me back. And so the next time I was on, I talked to the guy about it, and he literally only played World of Warcraft. Saw no other video game as something he wanted to attempt. He just, World of Warcraft was it. And it, like I said, I don't hate these people. I still know some of them, actually. I just do not understand it. It makes no sense to me. And I'm also on board with you. I tried League of Legends, Glacinator.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't make any sense to me. It just was not appealing to me. But I think that's an important thing to point out, because we can hate things. Glacinator hates DLC. I hate pretentious douchebags, even though I am one sometimes. But, you know, John, do you hate anything?
Do I?
Or are you too?
I hate liver.
You're just too damn Canadian. That's the problem. You hate liver. I like liver. Little onions.
Bleh.
Couple pints of Guinness, we're good to go. Hey,
oh, the Guinness I can handle.
Yeah, Well, hey, I've eaten haggis and kind of liked it too, so I'm weird. Well, that's not the only reason I'm weird. But my point in doing this, as stupid as the topic may have seemed at the outset, is see three gamers from vastly different backgrounds, as far as you know, can sit here and talk about things that they don't understand but don't hate. That doesn't mean you're not going to hate some things. But it would be really nice if the gaming community could learn to just go, you know what, I don't get that, and walk away. Because that's what you do with sports games, right, John? You just, I don't get that, and you walked away. Glacinator, basically the same thing with League of Legends, right?
I had to put up with my roommates clicking all night, so...
Okay, so you can't walk away because you're a college student trapped in a dorm, but you know what I mean.
I just like it. I don't hate it.
Well, if I had to listen to click, 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 click all night long, yeah.
It's like...
You do realize that we all think the faster you tap on the keys, buttons, or whatever, the better it's going to work.
Oh, yeah, same thing with elevators.
Yeah. It's amazing how delusional we can be, because it doesn't make it faster. So there you go. We do enough hate on this show. We're going through it about roughly probably 8-9 minutes again. So I just thought I'd do a discussion topic where we just don't understand stuff because we're human. Let's move on. It's time for Uncle G speaking of cranky. Forgot about that. He has a question. It's a question that I'm not sure how John's going to tie into that discussion topic, but he's going to try it, apparently. Take it away, Uncle G.
Another Greetings, WonderPod. Technologically challenged Uncle G here. I'm going to look at an article today I found on theexaminer.com. It's called Assassin's Creed 3 Developer Calls Out Video Game Press by Michael Brooks. And I'm just going to read up the first bit here and I'll ask you guys to tackle the question at the end. Assassin's Creed 3 creative director Alex Hutchinson levied some strong criticism toward the gaming press Friday, saying there's a subtle racism in the industry when it comes to Japanese games. In an interview with the CVG, Hutchinson was discussing how the Assassin's Creed series was becoming an annual franchise. When he was asked about Nintendo and its franchises, the interviewer Rob Crossley suggested that the company is given a pass when it comes to releasing their games annually. I think there's a subtle racism in the business, especially on the journalist side, where Japanese developers are forgiven for what they do, Hutchinson said. I think it's condescending to do this. Hutchinson elaborated, saying video game journalists often give Japanese developers a pass on what he feels are bad stories. Just think about many Japanese games are released where their stories are literally gibberish. Literally gibberish. There's no way you could write it with a straight face. And the journalists say, oh, it's brilliant. All right, so what do you guys think? Is there any truth to this allegation, if you will, that perhaps the journalists treat Japanese titles a little bit differently than American or UK or elsewhere-based titles? I don't know. I'm not too sure. All I know is I'm looking forward to Assassin's Creed 3, but this stuff sometimes can be kind of interesting to discuss away.
Son of a bitch, Paul, why didn't you just go home? That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me! Suck my white ass, Paul!
Hey, Uncle G, so, racism in video games, but to the benefit of one group over another. Interesting what this guy, Alex Hutchinson, has to say about how the gaming media tends to favor the Japanese, or at least be more forgivable to them for their games. Well, the way I was going to tie this into what I was saying before, because he mentions how, as you mentioned in your call, they're getting some flack about annual games and how, you know, that flack is undeserved because their games are high quality, yada yada yada. You know, I don't think that Nintendo, which is, he cites as his example, it so much gets forgiven for having games out in rapid succession. I think last week I talked about how there's been a lot of Mario games, you know, in the last couple of years, you know, coming out much more quickly than they had in the past. I think they get some flack for that, and I think it does. You see that the Wii versions of some of these games that are coming out are not selling quite as well as some things as they did in the past. What I do find laughable that he says that Gears of War is a great example of great script in games but I don't agree that Japanese games are gibberish. I mean, there are some games that are by Japanese developers that are very good. You know, there are some that are very silly, but that, you know, that comes down to, I think, a cultural thing, you know, to kind of get it. I mean, you look at a game like Chibi-Robo, everybody kind of talks in gibberish in that one, but it's, you know, it's quirky. It's funny. It's still enjoyable. It's not gibberish and nonsensical for no reason. It's there for entertainment value. So I do think this guy is pretty well full of crap and needs to focus on his game and not opening his mouth spewing nonsense. How about you, Glace?
Well, my answer is going to be pretty much exactly the same as you. After the initial hoorah of the Wii came out, you know, people started realizing, well, where's all the other games? You know, Nintendo definitely got the most whined about this generation cycle, probably next to Sony, maybe due to all of the hacking stuff. I mean, Nintendo has had so much complaining. I mean, not Nintendo itself, but people have been complaining about Nintendo so much, it's ridiculous. You know, people are like, oh, well, this Mario game is good, and oh my gosh, the Kid Icarus game was terrible. You know, it never ends, and I don't see his guy's point at all. And say, like your point, Chibi Robo, as you all know, I love Animal Crossing, and people in that game literally speak gibberish. You can turn on a setting that says they turn their talk into animalese, which is gibberish. They go, and that game is amazing. So I don't know where this guy is coming from, because Japan just gets just as much whining and complaining about their games as we do here in the United States. There's no validity to this whatsoever.
Hi there, Uncle G. I want to split this into three parts. What I think of this guy personally, the gaming press part of this, and Japanese gaming or Nintendo. Personally, I think this guy's an asshole. He should learn to think before he speaks. Okay, that's out of the way. I saw on Twitter at one point this week somebody ask somebody, I don't know from who, Verge, Destructoid, Joystick, fuck, I follow 1,000 people. Well, isn't the job of the gaming press to give the guy a second chance to think of better words or that to that? Not really. I mean, it's the press. Have you not noticed the media in general, especially here in the U.S. lately? Fox News, MSNBC, Huffington Post, Daily Beast. I mean, they're just freaking they're just media arms for the Democrats and Republicans, for Christ's freaking sake. How do you expect the gaming press to not want to, you know, hang somebody out to dry, so to speak? And on top of that, the guy was dumb to use the word racist. He should have used discriminatory. Racist shouldn't even have been brought up in this segment. As to Nintendo itself, and are they given a pass, as it were? Probably. There are a lot of weeaboo motherfuckers running around out there that tend to think Japan can do no wrong. So in some corners, maybe they are. For the most part, no. Because again, you gotta understand, and apparently this douchebag doesn't, the gaming press is trying to be taken seriously all the time. Partially because some of them want to, are trying to prove that their journalism degree is important for anything other than sitting in a desk and rotting. So they're trying to be hard-hitting and fact-finding, and they end up being like tabloids for the most part, because we're not media. We're two nice guys and an asshole sitting around ripping on everything. I'll leave you to figure out the equation there on that. So the media is not going to be your friend, and I'm not really sure they should. In a perfect world, possibly. If you show me a perfect world, well, you probably also showed me we're media. So this just is bad all around. Because, the guy should just have not said it. And he really shouldn't use the word racist. That should be actually used for things that are racist or racism in general. Not giving fucking Japanese or Nintendo developers a pass. Also, the reason I'll come out with it here, full disclosure, the reason I hate Animal Crossing is because they speak gibberish. Speak English or get the fuck out, I say. I wonder how many people believe me when I say shit like that. I'm hoping zero is the correct answer to that. Anyway, sorry, Uncle G. But yeah, this is just... I was telling the guys pre-show, and I'm pretty sure it's true, but I'm not going through our archive of shows to find out. I think at one point I said developers really should have their mouths taped shut. They can breathe through their nose. Because think before you speak is not something I have to worry about. But some people really need to learn it. Appreciate the question, Uncle G. Great to hear from you as always. Look forward to hearing from you next week. Moving on, we are having a special moment in WonderPod history. Only once before in the era or the history of this podcast. Trying to sound important and I'm just fucking it up. Has this title been bestowed on somebody I really hate? We're not talking about John Glasenayer here. Although they may hate him too. I'm not even going to mention that jerk's name, but he is known as Redacted One. That's kind of how this bit works. We don't mention his name anymore, but he's a jerk, and I don't like him. Well, it is time to bestow that honor on somebody else, namely David Cage, who was going batshit about the maturity of games and trying to force-feed the video game industry into evolving into something he considers mature so that he can feel like a deep and thoughtful artist. So now, officially, from this point forward, he will be known as Name Redacted 2. Not to be confused with Name Redacted 1, who's a dipshit analyst who is about as good at analyzing as the great Karnak. That's as close as I'm coming to naming him. You need a program? Too bad. We're doing this Name Redacted thing until I need to make a list to keep them straight who the hell we're talking about. So essentially until we run the damn thing into the ground. But this is kind of a democracy. Sort of. I have veto powers. But I am going to ask you, gentlemen. John, you first. Am I correct in bestowing Name Redacted 2 on him, or have I been too harsh? So basically, yay or nay vote.
I think you might as well go with a yay. I'm not sure if he's hit the three. Has he hit three strikes?
Oh, with me personally, he's at about number six.
I know here on the show. I know on the show, there's definitely at least two. But I mean, I'm pretty certain this guy, as soon as his latest opus comes out, he'll probably have his foot in his mouth again about something.
See, unlike the UN, unlike my own country, I believe in preemptive strikes. That's why I'm doing this. And he did. I don't remember specifically because I've got him confused with this games journalist douchebag who wants games journalism to become mature and doesn't understand that everything is a fucking process. So I'm a bit muddled, but okay, so we got a yay vote there. That's good. Don't have to veto you, because I have two vetoes. Glasenayer, as the artist of the bunch.
Yeah. I feel sort of bad lumping him into this category as a fellow artist, but I think he's deserved it by now.
Yep. Him and that jerk who I would not take Wall Street advice from or call if I was having chest pains. But yes, John has found me out, unfortunately. It is kind of a preemptive strike, because when that game comes out, I'm probably going to have a hard time not doing stories every time he says something stupid. Until the audience, all five of them, leave. So, there you go. We now have Name Redacted 1. Here's how you can... Actually, let me do that again. I'll cut that out. Here's how you can tell the difference. Name Redacted 1, analyst. Name Redacted 2, douchebag artist. See? Simple. So there you go. We're going to send Name Redacted to a flaming pile of cow shit nailed to a piece of particle board. That is his surprise for pissing me off that badly. Let's move on before I make it any worse. Actually, we're going from bad to worse, but in a different way. News broke, according to this, a few days ago, that Nintendo Power magazine is being shuttered. It was confirmed after this, the last, issue, as far as I know, will be in December. And I gotta say that this one hurts a little bit. I was telling these guys before the show that in the days of yore, my cousin and I would trade magazines. I had something like PC Gamer and he had Nintendo Power, and so when we'd see each other, when our families got together for dinner or whatever, we would trade issues. And so I actually would read Nintendo Power in its heyday and beyond. And so this is a little sad for me, a piece of gaming history that, to be honest, made it a lot further in this day and age of instant and often inaccurate media, which we're not a part of. You know, but still, it's a sad day that Nintendo Power is going out of business, or so to speak. John, I was actually using real emotion and being sympathetic there as somebody who's A, a jerk, and B, not a Nintendo fan person. Does this bother you? What are your fond memories of Nintendo Power? There you go.
Well, Nintendo Power is definitely a part of my gaming life. I remember back my first Nintendo Power subscription came when they had an offer for a free copy of Dragon Warrior for NES with your subscription, your 12-month subscription. So I was on that, like, you know, stink on shit, and really enjoyed the magazine. You know, I even to the point where I was taking photos of my high scores on the television with intentions of sending them. I don't often Nintendo Power, because that's what they used to do back in the day. You take a photo of your television, develop the photo, and mail it in with your name and address, and maybe they would publish it, and you know, as a record of that you nailed this high score in their game. So, you know, those little things were really cool. Nestor the comic, I used to like that a lot too. It was really stupid, but it was fun. Of course, you know, I grew up and grew out of Nintendo Power after a while, and you know, it is a sad thing. It was a part of my childhood, and I like to have thought that it'd be a part of other kids' childhoods too. I really haven't read an issue of Nintendo Power for a long, long time, so I can't really attest to much of how much quality there was in it. I can barely attest to how much quality there was in it when I read it, but it is a little bit of a sad thing. But what I find, you know, a little more maddening is on Twitter, when it was announced, there was a spiel of different outcries that it was going and stuff. And, you know, part of me agrees with, you know, the sentiment, and part of me thinks, you know, if it's such a tragedy, then if you cared that much, why didn't you buy a magazine? You know, it kind of goes two ways, but, you know, it's part of my childhood that's gone. So, yeah, a little bit sad.
Yeah, I got into a couple Twitter fights when EGM bit the dust about that same thing, too. Well, if it's such a fucking travesty that must be stopped because you say so, then go buy every copy you can find. Was it EGM? One of those. One of the last two that went out that have been a long time. That kind of torqued me off. As much as I love Nintendo Power, yeah, that kind of... By the way, I always looked at Nestor as like Nintendo's answer to Treasure Island Dizzy.
Yeah, a little bit.
Kind of. I know, it's a reach. I'm well aware of that, but I kind of saw them in similar light. They were both goofy as hell and probably really couldn't have defended themselves in a real fight if they had to, but they were fun. And you're right, it was more of a kid-centric magazine, but still very cool for the time when we were coming up. You know,
I definitely used, like, even things like the game guides that they would publish, you know, maps of Zelda, you know, like to help you, you know, muddle your way through when if you're getting lost and stuff. I mean, there was even helpful stuff in it, not just, you know, cartoons and bullshit.
I'm going to use the wrong term here, and hopefully somebody will get a chuckle, but didn't they have, like, centerfolds? Like, you know?
You totally have fold-out posters. Like, I think I had a Link to the Past poster from my wall.
I swear to God they had, like, a Final Fantasy 1, 2, or 3 map. I seem to recall this map out of a Nintendo Power hanging on my cousin's wall, and it was actually pretty helpful. was the funny part. So, yes, Glacinator, as the youngest of us, but also a Nintendo fan, what are your thoughts on the loss of Nintendo Power?
Yeah, I was a Nintendo fan first and foremost in my gaming history, and I think I got my first edition of Nintendo Power probably in either 1999 or 2000. So this was past the Nestor age. This was when I was a little bit more leaning towards information about the Game Boy Advance and the GameCube. And this is before I really got onto the internet, so I really ate it up until about 2004, 2005 when I really got into the internet. So it was fun in those 4 or 5 years to read all the speculation, you know, about the Dolphin and then what games are coming out that holiday season. And when you're a kid, you always circle the stuff in the Toys R Us catalog, but I never did that. I always circled the stuff in the Nintendo Power list in the very back, which was always fun. And I continued subscribing up until actually the end of last semester. I stopped subscribing because I really wasn't home that much, so I couldn't really get them monthly. So I would come home from college and have like 5 of them waiting for me, and it just wasn't as interesting because I had already heard about all these releases, and they had kind of slowed down anyway because the internet was just encompassing them, basically. But one thing that I do have to be thankful for them for is that the first thing you see when you walk into my room at home is literally there is no white space on my wall. Every spot of white has been covered up by one of those center, what you said, centerfolds. I mean, I have posters ranging from Zelda to Elite Beat Agents to Zack and Wiki. Like, every Nintendo thing you can imagine is up there. Metal Gear Solid, like, not Metal Gear Solid, but Smash Brothers, Snake. It's just ridiculous. Like, my wall's a rainbow of video game characters. So they have given me stuff to plaster my walls with, which I like very much. So it is sad to see it go, but I can't say I was surprised.
By the way, I'm painfully aware that Nestor is a Alfred E. Newman ripoff. I meant that in spirit. They're both kind of goofy. Also, too, let me save you some horror. Never, and I mean never because I just did while Glace and I were speaking, search Nestor Nintendo Power on Google with safe search off. That is unless you want your childhood ruined.
Oh, you know, we have to do it now.
Rule 34 Nestor was like, oh, I don't know, second hit down on the image search. Yep. God, I'm... Thank you, Internet, for making me a worse person. but yeah, it's... they're both doing it right now. That's what they're not telling you. They're both doing it right now. Because it's just like curiosity killed the cat or disturbed you for life. No, but it is extremely... sad, as I said. I'm being sincere. I know that is so rare and probably such bullshit on nothing but audio, but it is. It was a piece of gaming history, and if you want to deliver your eulogy to Nintendo Power, we'll give you ways to at the end of the show. Moving on from sad to, well, it's sad in the complete bullshit sort of way. The headline... pretty much really all I think I need to do. It's from Eurogamer. Ubisoft has endured a 93% to 95% piracy rate on PC. Well, gentlemen, it's been nice knowing you. The Mayans are right. And if this is correct, then we are fucking media. Because as far as I'm concerned, this is complete and utter bullshit. And the cultural phenomenon people out there, because I know there's a dark cabal of them, it's time you got off EA and started the cultural phenomenon hate against Ubisoft. Or am I wrong, Glacinator? Was your first thought in your head when you saw 93% to 95% piracy rate on PC bullshit? Or not?
I don't think it's that high, but I think it's pretty high.
All right, then give me a percentile.
I'm going to say 70.
Hey, bullshit. Yeah.
Just on PC.
Yeah, you might actually be closer to right. I want to say bullshit.
When you get to the 90s, though, that's just ridiculous.
John, bullshit or not?
I'm going to call it bullshit, yeah. If it was 90%, why would you even be in the business of making PC games at all?
Not to mention the fact that why would you be in business, period? You know what I'm saying? You'd be in THQ's shoes. Mm-hmm. Jettisoning everything. Since Glacinator brought it up, what do you think the percentage is?
I'd probably say somewhere between this... in the 60 to 70 range.
You see, my gut says 55 to 60, but that's probably still way higher than it should. Well, we probably don't want to get in the cyclical straw man from hell argument of DRM versus piracy, because Ubisoft is just as bad, if not worse, than everybody else about, you know, DRM. They made Anno 2070, which I own, unplayable for a time, which since it's on Steam, it's in my pile of shame eternally, and probably not that big a deal that it was unplayable because I didn't play it. I need to. Let's see. What the hell else can I pull out of this story? I know what else I want to talk about on this story. Glacinator. So is free-to-play in the end going to make them more money than $60 PC games that are pirated, let's say 65%? That seemed like an average from the three of us.
Maybe. I can't give you a definitive either way, just because free-to-play is so hit and miss all the time.
Okay, let's assume, we all know how that works, that Ubisoft itself, the evil CEO, you know, horns coming out of their head people, do actually believe it's 90-95%. Fuck. I was too busy describing the CEO. I forgot what I was going to ask. God damn it. Shit. It's gone. Never mind. We're not talking about it because I can't remember what the hell I was going to ask. I seriously can't.
Replay.
Poop. Yeah, replay in my head. It's not going
to work. You were talking about free to play.
I know, but I there was a specific question and it seriously is gone. Essentially, I think. No, it's fucking gone. Yeah, it's gone. John, do you think... No, I can remember the first part of the question. Oh, my God. John, do you think that free-to-play is going to make them more money than packaged software with a high percentage of piracy?
Well, free-to-play making you money in the course of microtransactions, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It seems unlikely, but I mean those microtransactions had better be damn good then, you know, and worth the few bucks you might pay into it, I guess. But I mean, I guess it depends. Like, for PC games, aren't PC games cheaper than console games in general?
Hell no, not anymore. They've kicked them up to $60. They used to be $49.99. No, I paid $59.99 plus tax, fees, no Vaseline in a pipe in the you know where, for Diablo 3.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yep, and Guild Wars 2 is going to be the same thing when I buy it.
You'll have to pardon my ignorance because I think all my games these days are all from Steam, so I'm a little bit spoiled in terms of price. But the it's really hard to say without knowing what those microtransactions might be. I mean, if it's just skins for a character or new boots and horse armor, and I really don't care. Give me something like an aardvark playing table tennis. Yeah, I'll pay $5 for that.
Aardvark playing table tennis. Who would the aardvark? Oh fuck, aardvarks. Still didn't get it right. Don't care. Opponent B. See, that would be important to me to pay $5.
It would be kind of important, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it? How about versus a laughing hyena? It would be great.
I'd pay $5 for that. Glacinator, who would you have as the opponent of the aardvark? Who?
A panda.
I'd give $4.50 for that.
Yeah, $3.75.
Pandas are kind of pissing me off, though, thanks to World of Warcraft. Just mostly because it's the most ludicrous fucking race ever.
What if it has dragon wings?
Ooh, $5. Ooh.
Maybe even $5.25.
Wait, game designer, right there.
Does it shoot fire?
Yeah, the whenever you hit it back at the panda, it turns the ping pong ball into fire.
Okay.
Mm.
You need to hurry the fuck up and get out of college so we can make some games that are really screwed up. Because I wouldn't have the pandas.
They wouldn't even be Japanese.
Yeah. New from Glazeco. Games that are really weird like Japanese games, but made in America.
Start somewhere.
Hey. It's worked for a lot of people on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Apparently. I'll let you know in about another 6 months and 8 months, I think, for the two that I threw a few bucks at. The meeting, did they ever actually get it done? And finally tonight, this is more of just an announcement, because God help me if I can't remember a question I thought of 10 seconds before, who knows what's next. The Wii U price is to be revealed on September 13th. Also rumored from a Best Buy employee newsletter. I'm surprised that's not a pink slip at this point. They will also begin taking pre-orders for the Beast on September 13th. First question, John. Are you excited, curious, or disinterested? As many times as this Wii U thing and its price has been teased at us.
I am definitely curious, but I'm not sure I'm going to be buying one on day one.
Glacinator. Curious, not curious, disinterested, you know.
No, not interested.
I'm in his camp. I don't care anymore. I've kind of lost interest. Obviously I'll have to show some interest for the show because if it's, because obviously we're probably going to discuss it, especially if it's super outrageous, which leads us to part two of this thing. Glacinator, you first, what do you think? You can do it in yen or you can do it in American dollars, whichever you prefer. What do you think the retail price, oh God, where the price is right now, the retail price of the Wii U will be come September 13th.
I'll take $325, Drew.
Hold on. Well, that's right. Damn, you could have gone old school and called me Bob Barker, except I don't give a shit if you neuter your pets or not. Glacinator, $325 for the Showcase Showdown from hell. I'm actually writing this with a pencil and fucking paper, people. Old school
what?
Here. Yeah. Well, I already got enough damn windows open. I need to get a second monitor again. John, now that I'm done scribbling on a tablet with a chisel, what do you think the actual retail price of the Wii U will be? I'm gonna just keep doing that.
I'm gonna say $349.99.
Ooh, with a 99. Great. Like I can read my own writing. You went $325, you went $349.99. I'm going to go $349.98.
Aww.
It is sad that we all know how the Price is Right works.
$1.
I was just going to say, I should have. That was the other joke that didn't get there fast enough. I should have said $1. So tune in September. As I flip a manual calendar as well. My God, it's the Stone Age. Actually, tune in, the night of the show. That's a Thursday.
Oh, nice.
September 13th is a Thursday. So tune in September 13th, or actually September 14th. You'll find out if we're right or not, because I've got it written down on paper. that may or may not get lost between now and then. Actually, that's not that far away. For some reason, I got it in my destroyed cranium that it was longer than that. It's only 2 weeks. Or so. Anything else, guys? Or have we done enough show for the show?
No, that's about it for me.
Nothing over there on your end, Glacinator?
Nope.
Okay. I need to give a quick shout-out. A personal one, believe it or not. GB, hope you get better soon. Thinking about you. And on that note, this has been WonderPod. So now, the fun stuff I get to tell you. Which I'm still not sure to this day why we do this, because if you're listening to the show, then you know how to get the show. But, in case you want to tell a friend, in case you're hearing impaired, somebody's explaining it to you, you can get this fine show in a number of ways. The first would be iTunes. just go search it. WonderPod. If you don't like iTunes, we host the show, because we're cheap bastards, at archive.org, which is free. Again, search WonderPod episode, or just WonderPod. Yeah. Another way you can find out about us is our Facebook, where I post links to the show, to iTunes, to all that. The Facebook is WonderPod Online. Yeah, I know. We're really big into branding. The third way you can get a hold of this podcast is at our website. That's correct. We have a website. We talk about wrestling occasionally. We have pixelated art occasionally. It's poutine. That's where, yeah, anyway, who cares? What the hell else has been going on? Oh, yeah, free iPhone games to break John slowly, done by Pat Mann. I occasionally do videos about that game we're not supposed to talk about, but that probably went out the window. Maybe it'll be Guild Wars 2 now. And we have the podcast there. And when I post the podcast, I use an embedded player. That way, you do not necessarily have to junk up your hard drive with this crap. You can just listen to it on an embedded player. We also have a YouTube channel. Can you imagine what that's for? Glacinator has a YouTube channel with various and sundry fun things. Pat Mann, or actually 36Wii, has a YouTube channel. We got all kinds of crap, people, and we're desperate and needy, so love us. And if none of that works for you, these get worse every week. We have an email address. It's wonderpodonline@gmail.com. wonderpodonline@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter at WonderPodOnline, or you can follow me on Twitter at ORIGIM until I quit being lazy and finally change it. Or you can follow John on Twitter at
John Kehoe, JONKEHOE.
Or you can find Glacinator on Facebook, hit him up, maybe he'll play Mario DDR with you. But until episode 125,
trust me,
I am Bruce McGee. I am hungry, so I'm out of here to find some poutine. That's right, in California. See you, people.
See ya.
Pausing.
Hold it.
Goodbye.
I was gonna say, what, you got a fart or something?